In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I'm sure that some of you are saying, what are you doing here? Well, I'm just visiting one time. Just giving this Bible study, and Abuna Anthony will continue the following time. Okay? So, don't tune out now. Just wait for one more time, and Abuna Anthony will be back. Okay, so we will continue the life of Abraham. And now we are in Genesis 14, verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Kedorlaomer, and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemy into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich, except only what the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Last time Abram did something great in the eyes of the Lord. Basically, he went to save Lot, his cousin. And basically, he was doing a great thing because he was saving souls. Because Lot was taken as a captive. And it was a symbol of the souls who are taken captive by the devil. And he went into a big battle, and this big battle was like a spiritual battle, and he won in the end through God's grace. And the Lord really wanted to treat Abram for this thing, because you know that Lot left him on his own by his own free will, and Abraham didn't really have to save Lot, because, well, you chose the wrong choice. You chose the earthly positions, so you deserve what happened to you. He really deserved what happened to him. He never thought this way. He went and saved his cousin and saved the people. So, coming from this defeat of Kedorlaomer, you know, the custom of the people coming back from a war, especially when they are victorious, there is two things. There is a celebration. People celebrate with them and put rings and flowers and things like this, you know, give them, really throw them a big party. That's one thing. The other thing is they have to thank God, so they offer sacrifice. So this is the very first time in the history that someone did something like this. It's not any human being who met Abram when he came back, but it's God himself through a king that's called Melchizedek. And we will know this personality. This is the very first time you hear about this king. Okay? So it says here, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. It was very strange to know in the Bible that there is anyone else knows God except Abram. There is someone called Melchizedek, and he apparently was a priest of God. There was no priest back then. The priest used to be like the head of the household, and he would offer the sacrifices. The priest means he brings people closer to God and brings God closer to people. That's the work of the priest. So the head of the household used to offer sacrifices. And the sacrifices to please God, they used to be animal sacrifices, like goats, sheep, and bowls and so on. But this was like, he's a priest by profession, and at the same time he's a king. And I, as I will show you, it's impossible to find the two together. There is no one who is a king and a priest. And I'll, you know, I'll tell you later on. So it was something really strange. We've never about heard about the priesthood. This is the very first time you hear the word priesthood. So who is this person? Is he a king? Is he a priest? Who is this? Melchizedek is a very unique personality in the Bible that you will never ever find anyone like this. Till this day, there is a confusion about Melchizedek. There is two opinions in the church. There is two opinions everywhere you hear about Melchizedek. Some people say he is a symbol of Christ in the Old Testament. And the other opinion, which I personally lean towards, is that he is Christ himself. And this is one of the appearances of the of Christ in the Old Testament. So let's read about Melchizedek. And the beauty of this part, it will show you the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because I know that some people somehow just ignore the Old Testament and don't know the beauty of the Old Testament. So, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. King of Salem, Salem or Shalom means peace. So he's the king of peace. And he is offering a sacrifice, not with goats and calves, but he's offering a sacrifice of bread and wine. Does this sound familiar? Okay. He was the priest of God Most High. He was not a priest of God's of God Most High, but he was the priest of God Most High. If anyone who goes deeper, God used to have two names in the Old Testament. Jehovah, which is God of the Jews, God of the promise, Jehovah, and another name, Elohim. Elohim is the God of everyone, God the Most High of all people. Of course, Jews want to believe that God is only for them, so they want to hear Jehovah. They don't want to hear Elohim. But here, God's name came with Elohim. And he blessed him, like Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Have you ever heard that anyone in the Bible is greater than Abraham? Abraham, we call him the father of the fathers. He's the biggest. He's the top. No one is greater than Abraham. And the Jews had to a lot of pride being the children and the seed of Abraham. So apparently he's greater than Abraham, that he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands." So he even blessed him. He's greater than him. And he gave him a tithe of all. Abraham, he had a lot of possession. Abraham saved an entire city. So he has the possession of an entire city. It's actually a spoil of war. So basically he owned an entire city. So he gave him a tithe of everything he got. It's like taking Abram in a time machine and going completely somewhere else. You go a little bit, and that's in the beginning of the Bible, Genesis. You go in the middle of the Bible, in the Psalms, okay, and you find this psalm that says, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." The part that came in the book of Genesis, that's all what it says, just 2-3 verses about Melchizedek. And then in the middle of the Bible, in the Psalms, right in the middle, it says that the Lord has sworn and will not relent. He's sworn for sure, and he's talking to the Messiah, Christ, that you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. That Christ will be a priest, not in the order of Aaron, but Melchizedek. Let me tell you the story. Abraham had his son, Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. One of them called Levi. Levi was the fathers of the priests and the deacons. All his descendants used to be deacons and serve in the altar of God. But only one of the tribes of Levi, one of the children of Levi, which is Aaron, his children are not only servants, but are priests. And any descendant of Aaron is a priest. And anyone who is a priest, who is a child of Aaron, a child of Levi, is called a priest in the order of Aaron. Okay, in the order of Aaron. But in order to be a priest, like Aaron, you have to be from the children, not anyone from the children of Levi, only from Aaron. Okay? So, that's all the priest. The priesthood started after Abraham, hundreds of years after Abraham. Nothing was heard about priesthood. But this that you've heard now is an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. It shows you how the Old Testament and the New Testament is like very well knit together, and how God is just awesome, how He combines all of this and, you know, makes it very harmonious. Christ was the only person who can be a priest and a king. Why? The kings used to be from the tribe of Judah and the house of David. And the priest should be from the tribe of Levi and the house of Aaron. No one can come from two tribes and from two different houses. But Christ was a king. He was actually from the tribe of Judah. But he was a priest, not in the order of Aaron, but in the order of Melchizedek. He is appointed from the beginning by God to be a priest, to intercede for his people and for his children, to offer sacrifices, not sacrifices of animals, but the bread and wine. You know what bread represents? Life. And wine represents joy in the Old Testament. It's God Himself in the character of Melchizedek who met Abraham and welcomed him and said, I'm very proud of you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to show you something that no one else in the Old Testament will see it. Actually, for God to show Abraham Melchizedek, just to visit him, just to celebrate the sacrifice of bread and wine, it was a great thing for Abraham. That was a vision of Christ in the Old Testament. God wanted to treat Abraham so much. He wanted to celebrate with him. So he celebrated with him in Eucharist. Can you imagine what privilege you have in celebrating the Eucharist with Christ? Every single liturgy. God was feasting for Abraham. He appeared to him. And he offered the sacrifice for him. It's amazing. With just this appearance was a great reward for Abraham. Later on, you know what Jesus said? Oops. Yeah. He said, that's in the Gospel of St. John. That's in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Okay? Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced, and actually in other translations, was desiring to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. It was a great reward for Abraham just to see Christ and to celebrate with him that Eucharist. He was amazed, and Christ blessed him. Just wanted to show you the greatness that we have in the New Testament. You know what St. Peter says about that? St. Peter says, You celebrate things which angels desire to look into. I want to tell you what St. Paul spoke about Melchizedek. To see just God appearing to Abram was just a great reward. Just celebrating with him the sacrifice of bread and wine was just too awesome for him. You know Job? There is a big question that is not answered 100% well till now. And so many people say so many stuff. What was Job's reward after all his trial? What did God give him in the end? I mean, he took some stuff and he gave him back. So what is the reward? Actually, they say that the reward of Job, that he saw Christ in the Old Testament. He had a vision of Christ, the Messiah. That's it. Just to have a vision of Christ was an awesome reward. And we have him. We touch him. We eat him. We hear his words. That's what Peter said. Things which angels desire to look into. Can angels partake of the body and blood of Christ? They can't. That's the privilege. The privileges we have as the children of God in the New Testament. So, here St. Paul compares between the priesthood of Christ and the priesthood of Aaron to show you how great Christ is, and you know the difference. I just want to go through this in order to show you how the Bible is just one unit. Now, we spoke in Genesis, and then in the Psalms, and here in the book of Hebrew, chapter 6, St. Paul says, Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abram, returning from slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abram gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, that's Melchizedek, king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, that's Melchizedek, made like the Son of God, remaining a priest continually. For this Melchizedek, now consider how great, just in the very last one, now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And the end, and indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithe from the people according to the law, that is from their brethren, though they have come from the lines of Abraham, but he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithe from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now beyond all contradictions, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here mortal men receive tithe, but there he received them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who received tithe, paid tithe through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the lines of his father when Melchizedek met him. We can go through this, but it's just going to be dry. It's very clear that he wanted to say that, of course, Melchizedek is much more greater than Abraham, and that's why he blessed Abraham and even took tithe from Abraham, same way the priests took tithe from people. Same way, we come from the battlefield of this world, from the battlefield with the devil, and we come to Christ, the Eucharist, in order to celebrate and to be strengthened by him. after being fought very hardly throughout the week. After meeting Melchizedek, after meeting Christ in the Eucharist, when we go out of the church, after meeting Christ, who do you expect will meet you at the door outside? Who's waiting for you to take the blessing out of you? Who? The devil. Okay? So, let's see that. After that, what happened? Now the king of Sodom, after meeting Melchizedek, now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. Okay. King of Sodom, he fled, and now Abram owns his entire city. He owns the people, he owns the spoils. So the king, in a nice way, said, take everything, take all the sheep, take all the possessions, and give me the souls, give me the people. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich. Abraham went through a test. Would you like to take all these possessions? If Abraham would take all of this, is he doing anything wrong? Is he doing anything wrong? No. He went into a battle. He won. He deserves it. That's not Abraham. That's maybe us, but not him. He passed the test of materialism. He passed it so many times. A lot of times, God would see, would Abram, would he prefer possessions more than his relationship with God? Would he prefer his son over God? He went through so many tests. You know, as Abuna said, a test, a faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. This king of Sodom is a symbol of the devil. You know what the devil wants? Do you think that the devil wants your money? No. The devil wants what? Huh? Souls. I want the souls. Give me the souls and you take the money. I want people. I don't care about money. I can give you money forever. Actually, I would like to give you a lot of money. But give me the souls. I'm hungry for souls. I wish that we are hungry for souls. Just one-tenth of how the devil is just hungry for souls. But Abram was determined to take money only from God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. If God will make me rich, I will be rich. But I can never accept any money or any possessions from anyone but God Most High. He is my Father. He is my Master. I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't take anything from anyone's hands except the hands of God Most High. He said something very nice in the end. He told him, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich. So, who do you want to be said that made Abraham rich? Only God. No one else. If God wants to make me rich, He can. I'm not going to take this from the hands of the devil. Or, I'm not going to take it from any hands except from the hands of God Most High only. Why? What do you think? Why not? What's wrong with that? Let me give you another analogy in the New Testament. When Jesus was tempted by the devil came to him and said, "You're hungry. You fasted 40 days, right? Okay, make this stone bread and eat. Just pray over it, and it will become bread and eat. Not even meat, just bread." And Jesus said, "No. Why? Why not? Both are close, if you can make correlation." How do you know that it's from the devil? If the devil gives you something, it's strong. I agree. How do you know that this is from the devil? It's from the king of Sodom. It's very easy. Lacks the spirit. But I agree, but it's very obvious here. What? It's not from God. Well, God may be giving him through King of Sodom. Why not? It's for himself. That's the people who attend the Arabic Bible study. Of course, Jesus didn't make the stone into bread because it was for his own enjoyment, and he wouldn't take it. He would bless the bread in order to feed the multitudes, but not to feed himself. But here, the king of Sodom, why not taking something from him? You know, he went into a war. He deserves it. Why not? Okay, you knew before Sodom was a good city or a bad city? It's a bad city. And the king is a bad king. I don't want to take anything from you. It's the devil who's talking to Jesus. I wouldn't take anything from you. I wouldn't take even an advice from you. He's not a godly man. I don't want anything to do with you. That is holiness, being set apart from anything that is not holy. If it's not holy, if it's not godly, it's bad. If it's not holy, if it's not godly, it's bad. And apparently, it wasn't a good city. He wasn't a good king. I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want anything from the world. I don't want the world to make me rich. If I want to be rich, God can make me rich. Not the world, not the people, not human beings. He said something very nice. He said, "I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. My father is so rich. Why do I get money from anywhere else? If it's not 100%, 1,000% from God, why take it? Even if there is 1% doubt. Why? My father is so rich. He can make me rich without me even asking. I don't want to take anything for myself. He gives me and I take it from his own hands." You know that Abraham was the richest person on the entire world at that time. He was the richest. How much land did he own? Nothing. Zero. Because it's earthly things. But he had a lot of possessions. How? It's God's blessing. Didn't make him. Yes, John. He met the king, Melchizedek. Okay, it's not his. But he got the spoils. It was a lot of spoils. It's not his. But at the same time, it belongs to who? To God. It's not the souls. You know, we're not talking about the souls. We're talking about the money and things like this. And the money that he got even, it's not only Sodom. But, you know, he won the five kings. He fought with five kings. So he took even more spoils. Actually, when he gave to the king of Sodom, he gave him more than that he deserved. Actually, he had more because he won a battle against five kings. So he had a lot. He could have taken, you know, he could have taken at least the things that don't belong to Sodom. Didn't want. No, I don't care. I don't want these things. I wanted to save souls only. It's like a good deal when it comes, okay? Would you take this chance? It's once in a lifetime. You have an entire city and evil spoils of five other kings. You don't take this. You become a king. If he took this city, he would become King Abram, the king of Sodom, and even the king of he was like the richest and the strongest in the entire world, because the world was so small back then. I don't want. It's not from God. God wants to make me a king. He makes me a king. I don't want to be a king. He passed a test. He passed a test of materialism. And he went through many tests like this. He was determined that his biggest richness and riches is Christ himself. He just went from meeting Christ. That's why he was so rich. That's why he was able to pass this test. His richness was coming from God and from meeting him. Spiritual people, the real richness is from God. It's not materialism. It's not educational stuff. It's not any brightness of this world. He refused the temptation of money, even if it's legitimate. But see what was written in the end, the very last verse. He said, take everything except only what the young men have eaten. You know, I'm giving you everything. Except I had some people and they ate some stuff. I cannot control it. I cannot give it back to you. Even though he's giving him more than what he had. And the portion of the men who went with me. There are other men who don't belong to Abram, whose neighbors wanted to help him. They went to the war. They called Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their portion. That's a nice one. These are earthly people. They didn't come with me to King Melchizedek's table. They're earthly people. Give them their portion. That's not my portion. My portion is God himself. Is Christ himself. How many times did David say that in the Psalms? That God is my portion. If there is a pie and I have a portion, I want God's portion. God is my portion. God is my spoil. God is my gain. Christ himself. He went out of this meeting with Melchizedek very, very, very rich, very strong. And after passing this test, what happens? God even got more happier with him. God was even more excited with Abraham. So what happened is, you find this in the following verses. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me? Seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer the Damascus. Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted to him for righteousness. He had taken the money. Would God have spoken to him like this? God appeared to him in a vision. You know, it's amazing what God did with Abraham. You know what it says? After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. And all of this, see the verse, I don't know which verse is this, when it says, then he brought him outside. Who brought who? Huh? God appeared to Abraham in a vision and was speaking to him. And then in the middle it says, then he brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. Who brought him? Who brought who? God brought Abraham to outside. How? Can you use your imagination a little bit? God appeared to him in a vision and then he brought him outside. I don't know. Maybe he took him from his hands. He was a friend of God. Do you know that? Abraham was called the friend of God. Khalil Allah, the friend of God. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because God was his portion. If he had taken the money, this would have happened? No. I am your portion. It's amazing. Once someone did a big favor to the church, and like he serves, like he's like full time with another church. So as a courtesy, you know, for what he did, he spent like a couple of days doing us a big favor. Then I wrote him a check. He's a servant, you know, it's something very common. And like 95% he would accept it. I will never forget this. He returned the check in the mail. And he said, he wrote that on the check. I've never seen that in my life. I prefer the heavenly reward. Oh my. It was a big check. You better believe it. Because he spent, as I said, a couple of days. It was like a couple of $1,000s. And he said, I prefer the heavenly reward. What do you think? If he had taken the money, would he have any reward in heaven? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. But I know for sure, because he did that, he definitely got a reward in heaven. And I know for sure, but because Abraham did that, he has a big reward. And actually God said that to him. Your exceedingly great reward. Your reward is exceedingly great. God cannot exaggerate. When God says something is great, then it's great. When he says something is exceedingly great, it means beyond measure. Abraham switched earthly things with heavenly things. Isn't that amazing? I prefer the heavenly reward. I can never forget this in my life. So he got really a good deal, right? Better than being a king. And then God wanted to assure him in two major things. Fear and reward. He said, do not be afraid. Why would he be afraid? Remember, he defeated five kings. So he became like the strongest person in the world. And I'm sure he was afraid that these people would get him back. You know, they would do something and come and kill him or something like this. And he said, do not be afraid. I am your shield. I want you to picture this. Can you use your imagination? Can you picture how God becomes your shield? You know what's the shield? Shield, this metal thing that people carry in the world so it protects you. It's like, you know, shield. Okay? So, I want you to imagine that God is your shield. It's like I'm like this. You know, I'm like this. And the shield is like that.
I am your shield.
Do not be afraid. Maybe he was afraid of people. Do you think he might have been afraid of something else? Could he be afraid of something else? Losing faith. I want to hear something specific. I don't lie. Not having an heir. He will actually talk about this right now. He might have been afraid of what? Because I had the same feeling before. Okay. There was a lot of fear, but I want to address one of them. The fear of regret. I wrote that in my blog before that. Okay. Once someone, hit me from the back, like by the car, bumped into me, and then it wasn't a big deal. It's like the bumper is decorated, so, that's okay. He said, take the information. I said, no. It's okay. I did the right thing, and I feel I did the right thing. But after that, I was afraid, what if? Should have at least, what am I to lose? I should have just got his information and later on, I would decide. Why did I do that? Later on, of course, God saved me and a lot of people forgave me after that. But it's the fear of regret. You regret doing that, Abram? Do not be afraid. I'm your portion. I'm your shield. You did the right thing. You didn't lose. A lot of time the devil come to God's servants. You think you did the right thing? Are you sure? Maybe you're trusting too much. Maybe you're just being lazy. Maybe you're weak. You're this. Are you sure? You're losing. What if? A lot of regrets. See what St. Paul says about that. Yet indeed, I also count all things. St. Paul lost a lot of things for Christ. People said, You were a Pharisee. You would have become like a great teacher. You would have become like the high priest or something. He said, yet I indeed also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. That was the temptation. Sure, it was a temptation for St. Paul. It was a temptation for Abraham. And it's the temptation for every servant of God. You're missing out. Are you sure? Sure you're doing the right thing? This is the best way of spending your time and people. Is this the best investment? Are you sure? Will you not regret these days? Actually, the same word that God said to Abraham, he said it to St. Paul. Do not be afraid, Paul. Isn't that amazing? It's the same word. By name, do not be afraid, Paul. In the book of Acts. Do not be afraid. I am your portion. And he spoke to Abraham about his fear, and then he spoke to him about his reward. Your reward exceedingly great. God does not forget even a cold cup of water. Would he forget any sacrifice that anyone would do? What is the exceeding great reward of Abraham? It was God himself. It was the biggest. It says, if God is yours, the possessor of heaven and earth, then all is yours. Even if you have nothing. But if God is not yours, you have nothing, even if you have everything. Did you get this? I will say it again. If God is yours, then all is yours, even if you have nothing. If God is not yours, you have nothing, even if you have everything. Make sense? That's God's portion. Yes, Mina. There was no such thing as. He met a holy man. He doesn't know. I don't know how Melchizedek looked like, but basically Abraham saw him and he said, "Whoa." And he gave him tithe and he made him bless him. I don't know how he looked like, but he saw Christ. And that's what Jesus said, "Your father Abraham was rejoicing just to see my day." Then, you know, I don't want to take much more in that. Maybe I will leave this to be discussed next time. When Abraham told God, you're telling me that I have everything and you're my portion, things like this, and I don't have a son. You promised me with a son. You know, God waited for Abraham waited for the son for how long? 25 years. This incident was 10 years away from the first promise, when Abraham was 85 years old. So God told him, you will have a son. And after 10 years, God is telling him, you're great, you're the best, I'm your shield. And he said, what are you talking about? I don't have a son. You promised me with a son, I don't have a son. He said, don't worry. Go out, look at the stars. Your children will be like the number of the stars outside. God assured him. What did it say in the end? See, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it for him as righteousness. That was repeated in the New Testament. St. Paul said exactly the same thing in Romans 4 about Abraham. He just believed what God said. Okay, you say so? Okay, I believe you. You're still in the oven. You have 15 years to come. But God said so. It will happen. And the more he waited, the more, the greater the reward. God can never leave you for a long time waiting without assurance. He comes in the middle and then he renews his covenant. He comes in the middle and he renews his covenant. I promise you, I will do to you what I told you. But wait, not now. He said, how about Ishmael? Maybe Ishmael is the one. You know, sometimes you're trying to help God. You know, I know that you want to bless me, but you know, I know that situation is bad and you know, the financial and things like this. Maybe if I do this. No. Your son. I told you, it's your son. Don't try to help me out. I can do it. But wait, he believed God. Sometimes all what we need to do, and that's what St. Paul said in Romans 4. You know, I just don't want to take time, you know, going through this. But that's what St. Paul said. Abraham did nothing. He just believed what God said. Can you believe that? If you just believe, it will be counted for you as righteousness. Actually, St. Paul said something very nice about that. It's in the middle. But he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He was strengthened. He needed a word from God. Do you get the word from God as a source of strength for you? That God is renewing his promises to you? When you think about something and you're worried about something, and God gives you the word, do you believe it? It's a support for you. God is just renewing the promise and saying, it's not the time, but still, this is my word. I didn't change my word. Just be patient. Why, Lord, patient? Because the more you wait, the more and the greater the reward. You wait a long time, you get Isaac in the end, one of the patriarchs, one of the fathers. You get someone who's really, you're getting a huge thing. Zechariah and Elizabeth waited for so long until they became really old. But they didn't get a normal baby. They get the best. You know, the best man out of the children of women. Because they waited. The wait is not for free. God doesn't have, there is nothing for free. A cup of water will go without no reward. Do you think a waiting will be without reward? Do you think, he said, just believing God is counted for him as righteousness. God give him a reward just for believing him. Wouldn't he give him a reward for every single day of wait? Did he give him or he didn't? He did give him. No one waited for God. And then he said, you know, I waited all that long and then what? This is what I end up with? Nobody said that before. Because the reward was greater than the expectation of human being. And he doesn't leave us during this time. But he assures us and he sends his promises day after day. Glory be to God forever and ever. Any quick question? Because we're already late. Yes.
You said there are basically two views. One that he was Christ-like, or maybe even Christ himself as far as the Old Testament is concerned. Why then did the Jews not accept him as a Messiah after he left the camp?
Very, very good question. First of all, that's before the promise and before the Messiah, before the law, before the commandment, before everything. There was no Jews back then. It was only Abraham is the only Jew back then. Okay? So, but till now, the Jews have no explanation of Melchizedek. If you want to put any Jew in a corner, tell him, who is Melchizedek? Can you explain that to me, please? What is, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. What is the order of Melchizedek? Actually, all the priesthood we have, Christ was the high priest in the order of Melchizedek, and any priest in the New Testament church is a priest in the order of Melchizedek, which is Christ is the high priest of that order. So, when you ask any Jew, who is Melchizedek? What order is this? How is this different from Aaron? And I wish they have any explanation. That's a good question. Yes. Salem is a place, is Jerusalem actually. That is the city of Jerusalem. And as I said, some people say that he is a real king. Back then he was a very righteous person. But some people say that he was Christ himself. Okay? So Salem is Jerusalem, okay, so that's, Salem is Jerusalem, okay, any other question? Okay, let's send up for prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you are our portion, Lord. We don't want any earthly things. We don't want any earthly rewards, Lord. We don't want to choose anything for ourselves. We want to choose you, Lord. We want you to be our righteousness. We want you, Lord, to be our strength, our portion, our shield, our everything, Lord. Even if we have nothing on this world, Lord, but we have you. We have everything. You are the possessor of heaven and earth. Thank you, Lord, for offering yourself. Thank you for just coming by yourself in order to meet us, in order to bless us, in order to make our life different, Lord. Thank you for the promises you have. Thank you that you don't leave us alone, Lord, with no promises and waiting with no hope. But you always send the hope. You always send us messages of hope, of blessing, of reward. You are great and awesome, God. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. Give us, Lord, to learn from the life of Abraham. Give us, Lord, to choose you over anything and everything, Lord. Give us always, Lord, to prefer your portion, your part, and not the world's. Pray, Lord, that you bless all those who came tonight and give us that we be enriched, Lord, by your words. Through the prayers and intercession of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, and all your saints, hear us and pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not temptation, but deliver us from evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for in the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. And now may the love of God the Father, the grace of His only begotten Son, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may depart in peace. May the peace of God be with you all.